Good morning.
Hello, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we first and foremost, we praise you and we worship you, Lord, because you are good and you are faithful. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together as brother and sisters and physically here and virtually to worship you. And Lord, we just pray that we would glorify you this morning in our words and in our interactions with one another. We love you, Lord, and we praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So good morning, everyone. I'm Michael Fritchman.
And I'm Catherine. And first off, we just wanted to say thank you so much for having us. Thank you for supporting us. We are so excited to get to know you guys over our time together. And you may be wondering, we got a little bit of an introduction, but you may be wondering, who are we? And we became global workers back in 2018, and we are hoping to soon deploy to the Balkans. So we're being a little bit cautious about the exact country where we're going just due to security reasons. So the Balkans is a region of the world, kind of like New England here in the United States. But as you saw in that picture, it's right across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. So it's not too far from the rest of Europe. So before the virus, we were hoping to deploy in September of this year. However, as you can imagine, like most of our lives here, things have been kind of thrown out of whack. And Lord willing, we're hoping to be deployed by spring or summer of 2021. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, so to give you guys a little bit more background on who we are, I grew up here in E-Town. I attended youth group here at E-Town Brethren in Christ Church while I was in high school. Catherine grew up in Northern Virginia. We met while we were at college. I guess after college we got married. So we've been married for 4 years.
Glad you remember that.
We also have a 16-month-old daughter, and we, there's a picture of her. We love being parents. It's been a challenge for sure, but it's been a joy to watch her grow and to learn. But as I mentioned, there's been some hard times too. I remember early on in parenthood, we were just so exhausted and tired. And there was this one night, about a month into it, that I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm frantically digging through the sheets. I keep saying, I'm like, where is she? Where is she? I can't find her.
What's wrong?
And here I thought that I had, after bottle feeding her, that I had forgotten to put her back in her bassinet, and that she had fallen asleep with her in bed, and I was just searching to making, trying to make sure that she was safe.
And, you know, I did something pretty similar. I'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking I was accidentally dropping her over the side of the bed. Never actually happened, but that's the type of fear we were living in. And like Michael said, we were so tired, and we were so fearful and confused in those early days, and this picture kind of captures that with all the diapers from all the big blowouts. And we were a mess, and emotions were running high, and we were frustrated with each other. We were frustrated with the baby, and we definitely did not live anywhere close to James chapter 1, where it says to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That was not us. And you know, as we've been preparing to leave, those emotions, that fear, the tiredness, the confusion, the feeling of being lost, that spills into our everyday life today. And even as we start thinking about what does it look like to move abroad?
Yeah, so we never anticipated moving abroad. That was not the plan. We went to E-Town College. I went there and graduated with a degree in accounting, and I currently work as a tax accountant.
And then I graduated with a degree in occupational therapy, and I'm currently working with babies from birth to 3 years old in early intervention.
Yeah, but soon, as you will soon see, God had other plans for us to bring glory to his name. And when we say glory or to glorify, what we mean is to make his number one in your life, to bring attention to his greatness and to his holiness, and to make his name known in all environments and with all people in all aspects of our life, and to love him above everything and everyone. So for me growing up, I was a big planner, so I had life all planned out. I would graduate from high school, I'd go to college, graduate there, And after college, I'd get a job, get married, have kids, excel in my career, and eventually, hopefully, one day retire and relax. And that was really both of our plans, actually. And when we met, we figured that would be what we did together. But while we were in college, we attended a missions conference called Urbana. It's through InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And in this conference, at this conference, we really, God opened up our eyes to see what he was doing around the world. We learned of the persecuted church in the Middle East, of the secret believers in China and Colombia, and the underground churches in North Korea. And we left there just amazed at what God was doing around the world. Like, he wasn't just at work here in Lancaster County. He was doing amazing things everywhere, in every corner of the world. And he was really changing our hearts during that time as well. So we came back from that conference, and we were just ignited. We were excited to take what we had learned, what we had experienced there back to school. And so we started reaching out to the students, our fellow students and staff and teachers, and really spent the time investing in prayer and praying for the people around us, praying for the non-believers, and for laborers to be sent out into the harvest, and for just the nations as a whole. But still, our plans didn't change. We still were going to graduate and get married and have a job and etc. But the focus would be different now.
Yeah, so instead of seeking accolades from man or hoping that we just feel great because of our job, we were really going to start focusing on doing those things, but for the Lord's name's sake. And this would look like praying for our neighbors. It could look like being intentional about reaching out to the everyday people in our life at the grocery store, at the bank. It could look like caring for our coworkers or just sharing the good news of Jesus with those around us when the opportunity came up. And those are excellent godly things. But for us, God had something else in mind. And so after attending a short-term missions trip to the Balkans, we came back and we were super excited about what God was doing there. And we were so excited to hear about what the missionaries were doing. We were excited about what the locals were like, what the food was like. We loved everything about it. And for a year after we came back, we talked about them, we prayed for them, we stayed in contact, sent text messages back to our friends that we had met in the Balkans. And it was just unlike any other experience we had ever had. We had been on short-term mission trips before, and we had been to vacation Bible school and retreats and conferences. And I don't know about you guys, but whenever I come back from those things, I'm like, let me tell you about Jesus. And he's fantastic, and my heart has been changed. But then after about a week or two, it's like, yeah, and fizzles out. And that wasn't what the Holy Spirit had in mind for us for the Balkans. Because when we came back from the Balkans, our hearts were totally changed, and we were still talking about it a year later, and I'm sure many people were tired of hearing us.
Yeah, so we were meeting up with a friend about a year later, and we were doing the same thing we had been doing with everyone else. We were talking with him about what we had experienced in the Balkans and how we were continuing to pray for the missionaries and the people we met there. We were just still so excited about it. And he was like, he was like, what are you guys still doing here? He's like, it's been a year. You're still talking about these people. Why are you still here? And he really challenged us. He asked us, like, have you asked God whether he wants you to stay in Lancaster County? And then he said this thing. He said, be willing to go until God says no. And that hit us hard because we didn't have a good answer for why we were still here. We weren't sure. Like, we started thinking about it. It's like, are we afraid? Do we just feel comfortable where we're at? And we just started praying to the Lord and asking for his guidance and for his wisdom. And the more and more we prayed, the more we realized that what we're doing here already, the skills we've developed, the gifts that God's given us here, we can take over there and do the same things over there in a new country, in a new culture. And so after a lot of prayer, we just said to the Lord, we are so unqualified. We don't have Bible degrees. We don't have that training. We don't know this language that we'd be jumping into or the culture. It's a whole new new area, new environment. But Lord, we're willing to go. We'll put in the work, but Lord, take us where you would have us go. So after saying that, we were committed to what we were doing, and we were so excited, and we still are really excited. We can't wait to get over there and to learn this new language and new culture. We're excited to see the Lord change hearts with his love and grace. And we can't wait to get to know our teammates better, get to know the locals, to explore the area. We're excited to see what God does there and to see him continue to transform our hearts as we see him from a new perspective and in a new light. And we're excited for our children growing up in the new area to see the Holy Spirit at work in ways they might not see here in the United States.
But you know what? As we started going through these trainings and going through different types of Bible tests and language tests, things like that, reality really started to set in. And we started thinking, oh goodness, like, this means financial stability isn't going to necessarily look the same. It means our children's childhood isn't going to look anything like our childhood or anything like our peers' childhood. And that really left us, all those unknowns made us started feeling really fearful. And learning a new life would be confusing and disorienting, and leaving family to do something that does not look like success in America it can put us in a lonely place, and all those comforts of familiarity, they would be gone. And once I started thinking about it, that sounds an awful lot like being newborn parents, or parents to a newborn. It's confusing, it's exhausting, it's lonely, and life was radically different when our daughter was born, and in the same way, life is going to be radically different when we're put into a new culture.
Yeah, so all that can sound like such a insurmountable collection of challenges, but going to the unreached and bringing the gospel to the unreached is 100% worth it. We know, a lot of us know, what it's like to be changed and transformed by the gospel. We remember what it was like before knowing Jesus. For us, we struggled with secret sins and just anxiety and depression. We were consumed by anger before knowing the Lord. We were, just before knowing him, we were in such darkness, and we were in that darkness because we didn't care, and we didn't want to know the Lord. In fact, there in the world right now, there are 3.2 billion people in unreached people groups that have never heard the good news of Jesus, and they're still in that dark place. In the Balkans alone, the likelihood of a believer or a non-believer coming in contact and having a relationship with a believer is less than 2%. And one of the challenges in the Balkans is, and in lots of areas of the world, is that persecution is a real thing there. It's not uncommon in the Balkans to hear a father say to their child that if you decide to become a Christian, you'll never be my son or my daughter anymore.
And so we couldn't ignore the Matthew 20:19-20 command anymore that says to make disciples of all nations. And because of that, and we know what it's like to be found, and so that's why we couldn't ignore it. We know what it's like to be filled with joy, and we know what it's like to see God's faithfulness come through over and over and over again. We know what it's like to trust in what the Lord has for the next steps in our life, and we know what it's like to be free and in the light, and so we have to share that. We have to share how much the Lord loves all people around the world. And yes, there are moments and days where the enemy, Satan, and our sinful nature gets the best of us, and we begin to believe the lies that we can't go to the Balkans because we're too unsure, we're too inexperienced, we're too young, it's too unsafe, and we have learned that there are about 5 things to get us through those joys and those challenges, and we're going to go through them in no particular order. But the first one I'd say is to pray. And for today's lesson, we're going to just focus on Philippians 4, 6 through 7. That says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I love that peace is not passive. It's not just something you wait for, it comes, but it's active, and it's going to be guarding your heart and your mind.
Yeah, and the second thing that's helped us to navigate these joys and difficulties is to remember. What we mean by remember is kind of to remember why, for us, to remember why we're doing this in the first place. And that's to bring him fame and glory. And that has to be our focus over and over again. We have to continue to remember the purpose of why we're doing this in the first place. And Psalms 86, 8 through 10 says it nicely. It says, there is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God.
And so not only is it important to remember who God is, but also remembering what he has done in the past. I remember when the coronavirus had first started, and I was talking to a missionary friend of mine, and I said, aren't you nervous? You just flew all the way from Europe. And at the time, COVID had really hit them hard. And I said, aren't you nervous that you're going to get sick or you're going to get somebody else sick? And she said, you know what, Catherine, I'm not feeling nervous. And it's because I have seen God's faithfulness over and over again for the past 50 years. So why would I feel nervous? And that was a really a testimony to me of, oh, like, God's going to show up again. We don't have to doubt his goodness. Another thing that I have found that has really helped me get through all the joys and challenges is to read the Bible and seek the truth. If you haven't read Psalms 119, that has really, I've been studying that a little bit this year, and Psalms 119 has really hit me hard about how great God's word is. And so let's just look at verse 105 that just says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
And our fourth point is to reach out. And for this, we mean to reach out to those who are like-minded and who can be an encouragement to you. Catherine just mentioned that missionary friend who was an encouragement to both of us, to remind us and to encourage us to look and remember God's faithfulness. And we're here as the body of Christ. You're surrounded with people who can encourage you and who you can encourage. So use that. Take advantage of this body that God's designed. Romans 15, 5 through 6 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And then our final point, we almost forgot this. We had finished writing this entire speech. and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's like, hello, you forgot this point. And that's just to relax when you're navigating through those joys and challenges. Psalms 46, you may be familiar with either a meme on Facebook or Instagram. And it says, be still and know that I am God. There's often a period there, but if you pay attention, there's a comma. And it says, for I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. And I think that's fantastic, because no matter what we do, whatever we don't do, God will always be exalted among the nations. And that's okay. That it's like sometimes we need to relax and just remember that God is in control. He is sovereign over it all. So what does this all mean? What does it look like for you and for us to exalt God among the nations and among the earth? What does it look like for the Lord to be your number one priority in your life? Maybe it means you need to ask the question that our friend asked us and say, God, do you still want me in Lancaster County, or do you want me to hop on a plane and fly to another country to be a missionary? Maybe it means bringing a meal over to your next-door neighbor or being intentional with a friendship with a coworker. Maybe it means reaching out to your grandchildren and loving on them while their parents are working. Maybe it means praying and supporting and encouraging missionaries you already know. Or maybe what it really means is that you need to say for the first time, yes, Jesus, I am a sinner and I want a changed heart. I want to love you with my whole life. I want to follow you for the first time.
Yeah, so making his name known is and should be a part of our everyday life. We even have the unique opportunity right here in Lancaster County to share the gospel with internationals. Kind of the cool thing about being in the United States is that the nations are coming here. And you just look in E-Town, there's a population of Burmese people. You drive 30 minutes to Lancaster and you come across a bunch of people from India and Nepal. It doesn't take much hop on the plane to go overseas to reach the nations. I think one important thing to remember is that, as John Piper says, missions isn't the goal. Worshiping God is the goal. And so I wanted to encourage you guys and it's been something we've had to think about a lot too, but to think about this question of how can you worship the Lord in your everyday life? And remember, whatever you do it for the glory of God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us all here together. Thank you that meeting together is, I think somebody already said it in this service, is that it's a privilege, and we are so grateful that we can be here to worship your name, to bring glory to you, and then also encourage one another. God, we just pray that as we go into this week, that you would be opening our eyes and our hearts to what we need to do to glorify your name, whether that means we need to change our path, change our direction, whether that means to be reaching out and loving others, or maybe it just means to relax, turn on some worship music, and sing praises to your name, God. God, we pray for all the missionaries around the world. We pray that you would be giving them strength and encouragement to keep running the good race. And God, we especially pray for the persecuted believers around the world. We pray for the secret believers. God, we just pray that if they don't know any other Christians in their life, that you would bring them a fellow believer that can encourage them and lift them up. We pray for their country, that you would be opening doors to share the gospel. And God, we also just pray for their strength, that you wouldn't necessarily take away the persecution, but you would be making your name known among all people. God, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.